So last week, you remember Patsy? She gave us an introduction to the book of 1 Thessalonians. And remember how she shared how God had led Paul by resistance. Remember, she shared by closing doors. And by closing doors, Paul was able to go where God opened the doors. And that's this. That's what I want to look at this week. And God gave me this title, and the title is, What Happens When We Answer the Call of the Open Doors? So what happens when we answer the call of the open doors? I'm going to open in prayer now. Oh, Father, we just come to you right now, and I come to you, and I ask that you just fall upon this place, and that you would fall upon me, and that you would take words from me that you don't want me to speak, and that you would add words that you do want me to speak, Lord. And I just want to be led by your Spirit. And we just thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for it is powerful, it is mighty, and it changes lives. And we just love you so much, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want us to turn to Acts 16, and I wanted to go over verses 6 through 10. And we kind of did some of this last week, but I just wanted to go over that. And as you're turning there, I want us to remember something else that Patsy shared last week, because this is very important. She shared this, and I just loved it. She said, we have the same Holy Spirit in us that Paul had. And I just love that. The Spirit doesn't change. God doesn't change. We have the same Holy Spirit in us that God had. So when we read passages like this, we can know that the Holy Spirit can move in our lives the same way. The Holy Spirit is not dead. He's alive. God's not dead, right? He's surely alive. So, but I want us to go over Acts 16, 6 through 10. And this is called the Macedonian call. And it says, now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Paul saw this as an open door. Wouldn't you? If God came to you in a vision and somebody said, I want you to go over here because they need help. I want you to go to Heather's house because she just fell and she can't get up. No, we would answer that call, wouldn't we? Paul saw this as an open door, and Paul knew that he was being called to the region of Macedonia. He answered the call, and as we follow a little of his journey before he gets to Thessalonica, we're going to see how God uses him as he answers the call of the open doors. And God showed me 8 things, so I don't know if you want to number 1 through 8, but he did show me 8 things that Paul was able to see and experience, and that happened because he did answer the call. So the first one, because Paul answered the call, the first one is he's able to establish the first European church in Philippi. Because he answered that call, he was able to establish that first church in Philippi. You know, when we follow God's lead, he establishes the work of our hands. He establishes it. We don't have to strive to establish it. He establishes it. Psalm 90:17 says, and let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. And then 2 Thessalonians 3:3, a little bit later on, we're going to be reading about that, but it says, but the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. So when we answer the call, when we step out in faith, then God is the one who establishes his work, because it's his work. The second thing I want you to write down, Paul answered the call, he is able to be a witness. And he was a witness in prison, right? In prison, we read that Paul and Silas were singing hymns at midnight. I don't think I would be. I'm sorry, I don't. If I was in prison, I just don't know. But they were. They sang hymns at midnight. And Paul was also used to share the gospel with the keeper of the prison and all his family, and they all got saved, right? They all got saved. And Matthew 24:14 says, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." So even in prison, we can be a witness, right? Because Paul was going where the open doors were. Sometimes we think, wow, open doors led him to prison, but that's exactly where God wanted him. And then three, because Paul answered the call, he's able to be an encouragement to those in Philippi. Imagine that. They see that he got put in prison, then he gets out of prison, and then before he leaves to go to Thessalonica, he stops by Lydia's house because he wants to encourage them. He wants them to know that Jesus is alive. And don't give up. You're going to go through hard times, but don't give up. He encourages them. So that's the best thing in the world, to be an encourager. You know, on Sunday, I was told that the young kids, they had a hard practice on Saturday. When I heard that, I just started praying. And then God gave me the scripture to go, and I got there at 7 in the morning. I just wanted to encourage their hearts, because sometimes when we have the worst practices, then God shows up the next day and he does the work. It's always to kind of humble us. So to be an encourager, that's a great calling. And that's what Paul did. And then if we go a little bit further in Acts 17:1-4, it tells us that Paul and Silas came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And we kind of went over that a little bit last week. Patsy went over that. And then as Paul's custom was, he went into them, and for 3 Sabbaths, he reasoned with them. So for 3 weeks, and he reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that Christ had to suffer. And then he rose again from the dead, and he shared that this Jesus that he preached, this Jesus was the Christ. And then last week, we learned that some of the Jews were persuaded, right? And a great multitude of the Greek were persuaded. And then it said, not a few, so it means many of the leading women joined Paul and Silas. So Paul got used to change lives there. So 4, because Paul answered the call, he was able to share with many different people, the Jews, the Gentiles, the women, and they got saved because he answered the call. And we know this is God doing a work through him. It's not Paul. But all he wants us to do is answer that call. Romans 10:15 says, "And how shall they preach unless they are sent? And as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things." And I want us to think about this fact, because it just amazes me, that Paul was only with them for 3 Sabbaths. That just blows me away. 3 weeks. Maybe a little bit more but not very long. But that would be 3 weeks. But we see this great impact that he had on the Thessalonians. Paul knows that the Thessalonians who had become Christians, they were going to suffer because of the troublemaking Jews that had forced he and Silas to leave and go to Berea. So that's why he's writing this letter. And he wrote it only a few months after he had left them. It wasn't like a long period of time. The commentary said he wrote it a couple of months afterward because he knew. Don't we know that new believers, when they come to the Lord, they need encouragement, right? Because I just remember when I came to the Lord, I was like, oh, wow. I just felt like this heavy thing was lifted off of me. And then I didn't get grounded in a church. And the enemy just stole it back away. I lived a life of Christian carnality for 15 years, riding the fence, right? Because I didn't get grounded and I didn't have nobody to encourage me. I didn't have accountability. But Paul knew how important it was for new believers to have that. And so this is why he's writing this letter. He doesn't want them to forget that it's true. Jesus is going to return. He doesn't want them to forget that. And that's what gives us hope. I don't know about you guys, but that's where I get my hope from. One day he's coming and taking us out of here. He wants to reinforce that he taught them about the promised return of Jesus. And he's so excited to hear that they were living out their faith. You see, love, the love that they were giving to one another, that is true evidence of a sincerely changed life. We can have all these gifts and we can have all these talents and all these things, but if we're not loving each other, the greatest of these is love, huh? We gotta be loving on each other. 3 weeks, 3 Sabbaths, and what a difference he made in the lives of the Thessalonian believers. Let's turn now to 1 Thessalonians 1, where our study is tonight. And I just want to focus on verses 6 through 8. That's what the Lord gave me, verses 6 through 8. And verse 6 says, "And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything." That's pretty powerful. That's pretty powerful. In 3 weeks' time, because Paul answered the call of the open door, number 5, the Thessalonians became followers of the disciples and of the Lord. Because Paul answered the call of the open door, the Thessalonians became followers of the disciples and of the Lord. The word follower in the Greek, and I don't know if I'm going to pronounce it right, is mimetes. Maybe I'm pronouncing it right. And it means an imitator. An imitator is one that follows in manners, in relation to duties of life, in one that follows or tries to imitate in behavior, in demeanor, and in conduct. The Thessalonian believers no longer followed after and worshiped their idols. They no longer behaved rudely with one another, but instead they were putting others before self. They were meeting the needs of others. They were loving each other. They were imitating Paul, and they were imitating what they had been taught about Jesus in the Word of God. Paul discipled them. And you say, how can you make a difference? How could he have discipled them? He only stayed there 3 weeks. But he did. He knew that they needed to be grounded in their new spiritual life. So he allowed them to see his life, and he invited them to learn from his example. Kind of like what Kimmy's doing with sharing lives, you know, the older women sharing the lives with the youngers and allowing them in to see. Paul had said to the believers in Corinth, "Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ." That's pretty powerful. I can't say that all the time. I hope once in a while I can, but he was able to say that. And remember why he was able to say that. Who was Paul before? Saul. He was the one that was fervent at killing Christians, fervent at putting them to death. And he was changed. He was a changed life on that road to Damascus. He got so changed. And so when he saw that these Thessalonians had their lives changed, he was so excited because he knows what the power of a changed life can do. So I just love stories about Paul. But because Paul answered the call of the open doors, number 6, he was able to experience the Thessalonians receiving the word in much affliction, but with joy of the Holy Spirit. So he was able to see these Thessalonians receive the word in much affliction, but with joy of the Holy Spirit. The Thessalonian believers, they received the word with favor. They sincerely gave an ear to the hearing of the word. They embraced this truth, and they made it their truth. You know, unbelievers say, you know, word of God is good for you. That's what you believe. But they said, no, it's good for me. This is what I believe. They made it their truth. They did this during a time of pressure, a time of oppression, of tribulation, and a time of distress. They saw the tribulation that Paul was facing with the unbelieving Jews who had come from Philippi. Yet they knew that this life-changing message that they heard was much greater than this persecution. And it gave them joy. It gave them joy. This joy was caused by the Holy Spirit in them. That same Holy Spirit that forbid Paul to go to Asia, that same Holy Spirit that guided Paul to Europe, was the same Holy Spirit that would allow the Thessalonians to receive the gospel with joy. I was thinking about this. Maybe, and I'm just saying this, now, but perhaps Paul had shared with them a psalm. Psalm 5:11 says, "But let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you." Or perhaps, maybe Paul shared this psalm. Psalm 16:11, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures evermore." I don't know. I'm just saying, but you know what? He could have. He could have shared some of these things with them. But I do know this. The Holy Spirit in them gave them the ability to have joy regardless of their circumstance. So have you ever gone through a troubling time in your life when you found yourself operating in the joy of the Lord, but you were going through this crazy time, but you still had the joy of the Lord? I have. On several occasions. But I remember when I was writing this last night, I remember a time of panic and fear in my life where my kids could have been in a very dangerous situation. We didn't have all the information, but we knew that they might be in harm's way. It was late at night. They were on this trip with the church, and we got these, anyhow, we just didn't get all the message. We didn't know what was going on. So we're like, the message that we got was like, oh my gosh, what's going on? And it was late at night. And I was waiting to hear. You know how we are as moms. We hear something's going on with our kids. We need to know what's going on. So we're waiting, and I was waiting, and I was waiting to hear. And then I remember crying out to God, and he gave me the scripture, Psalm 30, verse 5, "For his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning." And right at that moment, I just had this peace that just came over me. And I knew that they were okay. The Holy Spirit within me was comforting my soul. And it was in the wee hours of the morning that we got this message that they were safe. Joy comes in the morning. Yet the Holy Spirit had already comforted our souls. Isn't that awesome that's what God does for each and every one of us? I'm not saying that we aren't going to go through times of sorrow and grief and depression, because we all go through that. But what I am saying is, that nothing can steal the joy of the Lord from us, right? Nothing can steal that. That joy is going to remain. So anyhow, what peace came over us, and we just are so thankful. We were so thankful that his word is what comforted us. Paul wrote this letter praising the Thessalonians for the way they held on to the truth with joy. So here's number 7. Because Paul answered the call of the open door, the Thessalonian believers became examples to all Macedonia and Achaia who believe. So they became examples to other believers. And that just hit me. And I looked up the word examples in the Greek, and it's the word is typos. An example is to be imitated. And it speaks of men or women who are worthy of imitation. So again, I'm like, wow. 3 Sabbaths, 3 weeks, idol followers become men and women who are worthy of imitation. This is only by the power of the Holy Spirit, right? This is only by the power of God. And their love was the evidence of their sincere changed lives. That just blows me away. When I was a director of a foster agency when I lived up in Wairika, and I would tell my foster parents, I know that you might only have them for 3 months, or you might only have them for 6 months. We had many Christian foster parents. But I told them, you might only have them for a short time, but let them see the difference. Let them see that there is a different world of hope in your home. And then when they go back, they're going to have a choice. They're not just going to only know, you know. So we just never know, do we? We never know how we can be used by God to change lives. I shared this morning, this is just something silly that I do, but I don't do it all the time, because sometimes I'm not in the spirit. But when I am, I'll be at the store and I'll see like a grocery clerk downtrodden and sad. And I'll just say something like, you sure have a beautiful top on today, or whatever the Lord puts in my heart to say. And I just see the person smile, and I'll probably never see her again. But you know what? That moment, I was used to encourage another person. That moment in time, maybe God had foreordained that work from the beginning of time for me to just to say that one little word. Don't neglect those moments. Be looking for them. I sincerely love those moments when I'm aware, but there's so many times that I'm not. There's so many times that I'm just about my business and I'm not asking the Lord to show me, but he can use you in mighty ways. So Paul answered the call. Here's the last one, number 8. Because Paul answered the call, the word of the Lord sounded forth from the Thessalonian believers. It sounded forth. And it said here, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place their faith toward God went out. So that Paul and them didn't really have anybody to share with, because it's like this already went out. I looked up, it said the sounding forth was like that of a trumpet blast. The good work that the Lord did in and through the Thessalonians by how they served each other and how they loved on each other, it became known everywhere. It became known everywhere. Wouldn't that be neat if Calvary Chapel Reno Sparks was known as a church who loves on each other? We do. A lot of us do love on each other. But wouldn't it be neat if that got sounded forth to all over and they knew we represent the Lord, and so it's God in us. The Thessalonica, remember, was a town which people travel through a lot. It was actually considered a type of hub. So when I was thinking, wow, what wisdom Paul used in planning his second church in Europe in Thessalonica. It was God, but I'm just saying, what wisdom. The Thessalonians, when they received the call of the open door and used it, they shared Jesus to everybody who passed through. And maybe it wasn't so much by word, which it was, but it was a lot by their actions and their love for one another. Spurgeon said it this way. Spurgeon said this. He says, everybody asks why. What has happened to these Thessalonians? These people have broken their idols. They worship the one God. They trust in Jesus. They're no longer drunken, dishonest, impure, contentious. Everybody talked of what had taken place among these converted people. And then he says this, oh, for conversions, plentiful, clear, singular, and manifest, so that the word of God may sound out. Our comforts are our best advertisements and arguments. Isn't that true? Isn't that true? I remember when Tom and I really dedicated our lives to the Lord and came back to, when I came really dedicated my life, I wasn't living carnally anymore. I remember that the family just looked at us. Oh, this is a fad you're going through. I remember that. I remember they were just looking for us. And now, 30-some years later, his dad knows this is the real deal, huh? Change lives. Change lives. Show people things. Because Paul answered the call of so many open doors, many lives were changed for the good. So my challenge to you is, what open door is God putting before you? And are you willing to answer the call? On March 13th, we're going to be having a women's ministry workshop, just so happens, and where you can come to hear about open doors, where you can pray and say, Lord, I'm willing. Do what you want with me. Sometimes those open doors maybe aren't ministry at the church. Sometimes those open doors are taking care of our grandkids, or there's just all sorts of open doors that he has for us. But I'm so thankful to read of these godly men, to read of Paul and Silas and Timothy, who answered the call of the open doors time and time and time again. Vessels that were willing and able to be used by God for his glory. Vessels that God used to change many lives. So pray. Pray that God will show you the next open door he wants you to go through. Father, we just thank you. We thank you for the power of your Spirit is in us. That same Spirit that was in Paul and in Silas and in Timothy is in us. And we can do mighty things if we just allow you to work through us, Lord. I just think of that little Jordan. They had to put their foot in the Jordan first, and then you opened it up, Lord. So help us. Help us if we're fearful, if there's any that are fearful to step out and do things for you. Help us to just trust in you, because you are a faithful God. You never change. And you want to use us for your glory, Lord. The time is short. The end is coming, and we want as many as can to come into your kingdom before you return, Lord. So use us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.